Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, are you getting a drone for Christmas? Well, there are some things you should know before you ask Santa for that drone, or alternatively, go into a shop and buy one. Enda Walsh is IAA drone champion, and he's with me in studio. Enda, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you very much for having me.
So what do you have to do to become an IAA drone champion?
Well, I have a background in air traffic control, and I was an airspace regulator for years. And over the past year and a half, I've taken up the role of drone champion, or the UAS manager within the IAA. So my job is to help facilitate the drone industry while keeping it to the highest level of safety for both your listeners and the rest of the people in the country.
Now, there are drones and drones. I remember years and years ago, we got the first ones into the Late Late Toy Show when I was presenting it, and they were marvellous things. But since then, they've become much easier to control than they were back in the day, and much more plentiful.
Absolutely, and that's part of the reason we're having this drone safety awareness campaign coming up to Christmas. A lot of people may have bought drones or thinking about buying them. Our three-point message really is to know that you probably need to register as a drone operator, train yourself as a remote pilot, and understand the rules so you can safely plan each flight.
Okay, let's go through those particular things. Registering a drone, which drones have to be registered? If I go into Ken Black's Toys or Smith's Toys and buy a drone off the shelf, do I have to register that?
So if a drone is above 250 grams or if it has a camera, you're obliged to register as a drone operator. So not the drone itself, you register yourself as a drone operator, and we'll give you a registration number that you will then put on each of your drones.
Now, so if there's no camera and it's lightweight, you don't have to.
You're good. And the other exception will be toy drones, which are clearly marked and sold as toys. So as you said, you give the example of the very small drones in Ken Black, for example.
Yeah, so toy drones, you don't have to register. But, you know, when do you transition from toy to something else?
So if it's over 250 grams or if it is a camera, we'd advise you to log on to our website, so ia.ie/drones, and there'll be very clear guidance on where you cross that line.
So if, for example, your camera is talking to your mobile phone, which would be a typical thing, you have to register as a drone operator if you're flying such a thing.
So the vast majority of drones will require you to register as an operator, bar the very, very small, as
very
I said,
small
clearly
things.
Marked as toys.
Now, the second thing you said was training. How do you get trained?
So when you register as a drone operator, as I said, we'll give you the registration number you put on your drones, and you can also do the lowest level of training through our website. It's an online training course, an online exam for your first remote pilot certificate. If their drones are larger and you cover this in your training, there might be further training required then.
Now, you mentioned the rules. Where can you fly a drone? Where can you not fly a drone? I mean, there are commercial drones where, for example, I'm sure the air grid may use drones now instead of helicopters to survey power lines.
Yeah, drones are very flexible, and if we say if the job is dirty or dangerous or dull, it's good time to have a drone do that. But we're kind of trying to reach out and focus on more of the recreational users with this safety campaign. As you said, there's a number of rules through the training you become aware of. For example, always fly your drone within visual line of sight. Make sure you can see it and see what's around it.
Many of the drones have I think they probably all have a return home capability. If they're running out of power, they'll come back to the operator before the battery fails.
Yeah, and that's a safety mechanism. But if you're flying safely, you should be keeping an eye on your battery level and bring that back yourself under control.
Now, then where you may fly it? I mean, do people fly drones on beaches, for example? Because, you know, like if there was a perv taking pictures of kids on a beach, they could be arrested and hauled off by the Gardaí. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, you've got someone flying a drone with a camera in it, looking at the bathing beauties and so on, is that an offence?
Yeah, so privacy is always a concern, and we publish a list of areas where you can and can't fly. So we would have restrictions around certain hospitals and prisons and airports, for example. And a lot of those are picked up by the likes of the more popular drones, the DJI software, so that people get an alert on that. But part of the training would show people where to understand where they can get that information. But in terms of privacy, which is a very good point, because we get a lot of concerns, the camera in your drone is no different to any other camera, be it on your phone or your video doorbell or your dash cam. And you have to be aware of people's reasonable expectations of privacy.
Yeah.
We work closely with the Data Protection Commission, for example, in developing guidance around privacy for drones. We link that from our website as well. And I find a lot of the concern...
What are the guidelines now? Yeah. Because obviously... the paparazzi operate on the basis that they can take pictures in the public street. So if they see someone from Love Island walking down the street in the public street, they can take a picture and they own that picture and they can publish it in the newspapers. That's the business of the paparazzi. So what about drones? I mean, is airspace over someone's home, for example, who owns, is that the public street or is that the homeowners?
Well, if you think of it similar to when you go onto Google Maps and you can zoom in, you can probably see your back garden, but there's no identifiable information captured there. So a more concrete example might be drones we use now. You see more and more for estate agents. Quite a useful tool, gives them better pictures. We would advise them when they're doing that, talk to the neighbours, make sure you're not capturing people's faces clearly, you're not capturing license plates, so no identifiable information.
Obviously, the location of security cameras could be of use to the ne'er-do-wells.
Mm-hmm.
So are there any rules about that?
Okay, so you elaborated on capturing the locations with drones, is it?
Yeah, yeah. They're overhead and they can see where the security cameras are and therefore might learn how to avoid them if they were breaking into your house.
Yeah, well, a drone is a tool that can be used for good or ill, like any other tool really, Pat, I suppose. And in terms of high-value security locations, the state does have the ability to restrict that through geozones. So you have it around prisons, as I said, or some of the military installations. And
now,
for air
public
safety
monuments,
around,
you know, if you're down in on the Aran Islands, you want to get a shot of Dún Aengus or something like that. Can you take that shot?
If you're flying in line with the rules. Again, it's about distance from people, the height you're at, have you planned that flight safely? We do work with the state agencies where they feel they want to restrict that airspace for more sensitive locations or more popular tourist destinations that's not impinging on people's enjoyment. And we can restrict that airspace if the request is.
Now, do you have ceiling heights for drones, for domestic drones, shall we say?
So the height restriction in general, apart from where we restrict it further around airports, will be 120 metres or 400 feet. And the reason for that is the general rules around manned aviation is that they'll stay 500 feet above the nearest obstacle, apart from when they're taking off and landing, of course. So that gives a nice buffer between the manned and unmanned. But we would encourage people to always be aware that there are other aircraft that might be flying low. You mentioned AirGrade, for example, that could employ helicopters to fly low and inspect the line. So always be on the lookout for what's around you when you're flying.
What about in public parks?
So public parks, again, you do need the permission of the landowner to take off and land. So we'd advise you to talk to the landowner. If it's private land, public property, maybe speak to the council. If there's issues around it, they might put signs up in certain areas. So be aware of where you're flying and do you have permission to take off and land
now,
there?
Often on, say, up Killiney Hill, there used to be a sign, and possibly it's still there, about flying kites because of power lines.
Mm.
Now, the difference there, the kite has some sort of a string that connects to you, but a drone does not. So are there rules about flying drones near maybe low voltage power lines that you see in virtually every neighbourhood?
Yeah, no, we cover this in the pilot training, to be very conscious of the environment that you're flying in and to assess it clearly beforehand. Don't just throw your drone up without considering where you are and what the obstacles might be in that environment.
If there are offences then against the drone owner, what happens? Who prosecutes them and what fines might they pay?
Yes, so that falls on us, Pat, and we have a range of enforcement policies, from sending people from retraining. So we have a just culture concept where if people unintentionally do things wrong, we try and put them on the clear path first. So it might be pilot retraining, but all the way up to prosecutions, which we had one earlier this year, where an individual was flying it over an assembly of people, which is never allowed because that's obviously dangerous. If there's a flyaway of the drone, the people on the ground don't have a chance to get out of the way.
Sure. We're talking about the drones that people are likely to get for Christmas and so on. But there are drones, the commercial ones. I mean, the pizza delivery drones, are they have to be licensed to you, I presume, by you?
Yeah, so a good example would be Man Aero, who do deliveries in Balbriggan from coffees to pizzas. And that would be, we have a risk-based approach to drone regulation. So what we're talking about today is the lower open risk class, but MANA would fall in the specific, where we have specific authorizations for them and additional mitigations like parachutes, for example, fit to those type of drones.
Okay, and finally, one listener wants to know, should it not be mandatory for any seller of a drone to register the purchaser at the point of sale? That's from Tony.
That's not, but it's a good point. And with the newer drones that will have the CE markings, which we're all familiar with on a lot of products, one of the requirements will be to have information leaflets in there directing people where to register and that they should register.
Okay, but no obligation on the seller to register.
Not on the seller. Not at the moment. But think of it like your car. The obligation is on you to ensure that's registered and to ensure you have your license.
Yeah, we're going the same way with e-scooters as we are with drones, it looks like. Anyway, Enda, very informative stuff. Enda Walsh, IAA Drones Champion.
Thank you very much
for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.